Mark chapter 13, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. May the Lord add His blessing upon the reading of His word. It all started with a baby crying. A number of years ago, my nephew, Noah, woke up in the middle of the night and he was discombobulated about something. But as he screamed, my sister Laura, she heard him. Being that mom and your mothers out there know how this is. She got up in the middle of the night and she went in there to his crib and kind of got him up, took care of his needs, comforted him, got him settled back down. And then she was heading back to her room and going back to bed. And you know how it is when you're so tired in the middle of the night like this. And she's getting ready to go back to bed. But then she heard something. And she couldn't quite put her finger on it, what it was. She knew that she should know what it was that she was hearing. But she did like any woman, any married woman, who hears a thing in the night. She woke her husband up and told him to go check it out. And so Hank, he got up and he went and started checking out, what is that noise that I'm hearing? And what he saw was, as he looked out the window, was that their neighbor's house was on fire. It was on fire. And so, neighbor's house on fire. So they went into action. Both my sister and my brother-in-law, they went running out of the house. You know, sometimes they somehow called 911 to get the fire department coming out, what's going on. Laura's running over there. She's banging on the door, trying to wake the people up so that they'll know that their house is on fire. And she's banging and banging and screaming and yelling. And it took a while for them to wake up. They're an older couple and they were sound asleep. You know, getting woken up in the middle of the night. They weren't young mothers who were used to having to get up, you know, for a baby crying, these kind of things. But finally, Laura got their attention. Now, my brother-in-law had managed to hook up a hose and spraying water as best he could on the fire. It was enough to keep it from getting too out of control so that when the police, and the fire engines all got there, they were able to put the fire out and save the house. And not only that, but that couple, they had woken up. They had actually gotten out of the house because of my sister's banging on the door and screaming and yelling, letting them know that their house was on fire. Those who are not disciples of Christ are like that sleeping couple. Their house is on fire, and they are totally unaware. They dream their dreams while out of touch with the truth of the reality. And for the unbeliever, the stark reality is that, you know, wherever they are, their lives hang by a tenuous thread. That at any moment, that thread could be cut. And when it's cut, the fall is far. The fall is into the fires of hell, eternal punishment, screams, pain, separation from all of the blessings of God, separation from God Himself. And this is their fate for all eternity. And it's a real easy thread to be cut. And unbelievers simply have no escape from this fate other than through the gospel message that you have if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian. And a lot of the problem that the world has is that they're very comfortable in their dreams. They don't want to be disturbed out of their dreams. There's no desire to wake up when they hear us call out and let them know that their house is on fire. And the idea of following Jesus is abhorrent to them. The world wants to remain at the center of their false reality. They want to do their own thing without God interfering with them. And it is an utter denial of Jesus Christ. It just they deny Him. They deny that He is at the center of reality. They deny that He is ruling as King, as our choir sang, "Our God reigns." The unbeliever would deny that totally. The world hates Jesus. They hate Him because He is the truth in its absolute form. It's the world, it desires for its own idols. It desires for its own false reality. And so the world pressures us. It pressures us as His disciples to keep our mouth shut about Jesus. Keep it to ourselves. Live your own private Christianity, but don't tell me about it. And in some places they say don't even do that. But there are those who, well, we once were one of them. There are those people out there who, although they're asleep, you know, they're asleep in their burning house, will wake up when they hear the calling. They will wake up. The Spirit of God will get them up, and they will find salvation in Jesus Christ when you proclaim the message of the gospel to them. And so Jesus calls His disciples to proclaim the good news. In this, we see that Jesus led the way. In Mark 1, 14 through 15, Jesus came, and He came proclaiming the gospel of God. He announced the time was fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. This was the message that was at the heart of His ministry wherever He went. You know, this is just a small encapsulation of that message. But that is what He proclaimed. He proclaimed the gospel. He was very deliberate in going out. He went out from town to town. He went out to make sure that people heard the message that He had to tell. You know, He led the way in this. He loved people. He spent time with people. He worked among them. He healed them from sickness. Those who were demon-possessed, He cast the demons out. He lived a righteous life before God, and it was entirely in full view of the people. And some people didn't like the way He lived it because it didn't equal what they considered a righteous life. But before God, it was. Jesus proclaimed the gospel in both word and deed. And as a result of this, He suffered persecution. He suffered even the death on the cross. And He did that for us. And now He is at the heart of the gospel as He reigns, as He is our Savior. And Jesus' disciples, Christians, we are called to follow in the steps of our Master. We are called to follow after Him. And so we confess before the world that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, and He is the Savior, and He is the only way to salvation. Jesus' marching orders to us as clear as His disciples. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus gave the Great Commission, and this is what He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. As was done for us, so must we also go and do for others, and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world." Jesus stated in Mark 13:10, our passage for today, He stated that the gospel must first be proclaimed to all the nations. You know, and we see that such is missions. And we see also that this was stated in the context of persecution. And we looked at that pretty closely last week, so we're not going to really go into that too much this week. But obedient to Christ, confessing Him before the world, we face suffering and persecution. We face that because they oppose our message. And the world hates us because it first hated Him, and He tells us that too. And Bonhoeffer stated concerning this, and this is in The Cost of Discipleship, he stated, "This suffering will help forward the messenger's testimony. It is all part of God's plan and the will of Jesus. And that is why they will be given power to make a good confession and deliver a fearless testimony even in the hour when they make answer before thrones and judgment seats. The Holy Ghost Himself will stand by their side and will make them invincible. And because the disciples remain true to the Word in their sufferings, the Word will remain true to them." And so, sent by Christ, we take the gospel to the world. The King over all authorities, the King over all powers, has commanded us to go forth to the world to proclaim His gospel. And He has given us authority to do so. He authorizes us in this mission. He commands us to go. And there is no authority on earth that can tell you otherwise. None. He is with us wherever we go, whether it be suffering, even death. And He led the way in that. Confessing Christ before the world, it is indeed a natural expression of who we are as the redeemed of Christ. It is natural that we have the Savior who did so much for us, and that we are following Him, that we proclaim with joy the gospel message. As we follow Him, we deny ourselves. We take up our cross, and as we follow after Him, we proclaim His name along the way. Apostle Paul, he stated, and so we cry in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "Woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel." Woe to me. And so we do. And disciples of Christ are faithful in this. The history of the world testifies to how the disciples of Christ have gone out to all the nations and proclaimed the gospel at great sacrifice to themselves. We would not be here today if disciples of Christ had not been faithful in this. And so we too are called to be faithful. I've mentioned before, and it was actually back when he said it to me, but there was a captain who asked me whether it was true or not that people who were in the army could no longer talk to other people in the army about Jesus Christ. Now, his confusion resulted from that whole Weinstein thing where Weinstein went to the Pentagon and talked to some officials there. And so as a result of this, there was an outcry, people were concerned, and the Pentagon put out some guidance to the armed services concerning proselytization and evangelization. This is what they said: service members can share their faith, evangelize, but must not force unwanted, intrusive attempts to convert others of any faith or no faith to one's beliefs. Proselytization. That's a word, isn't it? That's a word. Yeah. Well, you know, there's the possibility of UCMJ, possibility of punishment for soldiers if someone is shown to be proselytizing. The problem with this is that it really comes down to a commander's interpretation of what proselytization means. That was a hard word to pronounce. So, you know, now they got to interpret what it means. And you saw the guidance. The guidance is, I mean, if you got to read that several times to really try to get the gist of what the guidance is trying to say. You know, so there's this interpretation aspect to it, to whether somebody, were they evangelizing or were they proselytizing? And it comes down to a subjective judgment call on which way they go with this. As the Wall Street Journal points out, because they picked up on it, the Wall Street Journal wrote, they said, "The definition of those two words are almost identical. And said, Merriam-Webster defines proselytization as to recruit or convert, especially to a new faith, institution, or cause. Well, you would say that's evangelization. No, that's the definition of proselytization. You know, but then it says evangelization is to preach the gospel to or to convert to Christianity. According to Webster's, the only difference is, well, what is the difference? I'll let y'all think about that. So the question really does become, and this for a soldier, the question is, you know, when does sharing one's faith become proselytization? When does it become that? You know? And again, it really comes down to a subjective answer. Well, if a person feels a little bit uncomfortable because you talk to them about Jesus, well, they could just say, well, he proselytized me. And that soldier could get in trouble. You know, it could cost them a career, money, you know, promotion possibilities, all sorts of things, because they were faithful to Christ. But this problem is such that it could very well scare believers. It could scare them into just not sharing their faith. You know, because of the confusion is there, for fear even, that if they do so, it might be interpreted as proselytization, and so their career's on the line if they do it. You know, this confusion is such that even this captain came to me about it and was like, what's up with this? And I talked to him about it. I explained the difference, what proselytization really is, you know, versus evangelism. And it was good that he came to a chaplain and he said, hey, what is this all about? And so now he knows, and hopefully he passed that down. And so the others understand. And particularly Christians will know that, you know, okay, you know, they want to be faithful to the Lord, but, you know, understanding what the difference is can really help it within the army environment. Because people want to keep their jobs, but how do you keep your jobs and be faithful to the Lord? We've got to really look at what's going on here. Christians should not consider such things as a deterrent to their sharing their faith. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus told us, he said, you know, he told actually his disciples this, and it applies to us now, because it's basically this is universal for us as his disciples. He said, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as a dove. You know, this is a very, very good thing to keep in mind as disciples of Jesus Christ. As we follow, you know, our Lord, as we go on that mission that He has sent us on, which is to proclaim the gospel to the world. You know, it's true, whether you're a soldier talking to a soldier, whether you're, you know, a housewife talking to her friends, whether you work in, you know, whether you're a student even, talking to other students, or you work in a business, you know, and you're talking to your fellow co-workers, or even people that you do business with. He says, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. That's a pretty rough place to be. You know, he's told us we're going to be persecuted. We're seeing that we're going to suffer if we obey him. So he says, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Now, in this whole thing that, you know, we're talking about as far as the army is concerned, what does this look like? Well, I thought about this a little bit, and I think it's pretty good to think in terms that we want to avoid assaulting people. Do you understand what I mean when you got people who assault people with the Bible? You know, rather than come across as a loving witness, they come across as a hostile assailant. Avoid that particular, you know, be wise about how you approach people with the gospel. You know, be wise. You know, be discerning, too, of the context within which you speak. There are just certain contexts that it's just not going to be received well. Be wise and discerning. Be innocent as you go about it. You know, speak from the heart as you talk to them. And two, make sure that your life reflects the message that you're speaking. If you're a total jerk, you know, and then you say, hey, you know, believe in Jesus, that's not going to go over real well because you're a total jerk. They're not going to want to believe in Jesus because you're a total jerk. How we live our lives is as much a part of our message as the words we speak. Be wise about how you share your faith. You know, don't be rash, okay? But also don't be overly cautious. There's that, what they call that golden mean. Be courageous in how you share your faith. Because as you do so, you share your faith in the strength of the Lord as you do His will. Carry out your mission as a disciple. Proclaim this truth in love. Because that's how you proclaim it, in love. Do it even though you do it at risk of punishment. Even if you think your commander may say, well, that may be proselytizing. Be faithful to the Lord, because you know these authorities under which we are, they were put in power by Christ Himself. They were put in power by God. And they are all under His authority, and they will answer to Him one day. So what if they punish you? So what if they, you know, fire you? The main thing is being faithful to the Lord, no matter what. Because you are a disciple of Christ. That is what you do. Jesus is King over all. He has sent us out on a mission. And as we go on that mission, we must trust in the Lord. We must trust in God to help us do this God-sized task. And we must remember that it's not us that converts anybody, but it's the Spirit of God who reaches into a person's heart, who wakes them up, who brings them to a life spiritually so that they can even hear that gospel message. And as they hear it, they respond. We are called to give the message. We are called to proclaim that gospel. And as we are faithful in our mission, you know, as we are faithful in what we are doing, Christ Jesus is with us. Wherever we are, wherever we go, He is with us. He has promised us this. As people hear the message that you proclaim, there are those that will believe. There are those that will be saved by the Lord Jesus. You will be His witness. You are His witness. And such is a disciple of Christ. Because Jesus is Lord, we must proclaim the gospel despite opposition. And there, of course, are a number of ways to evangelize. Many, many different theories on evangelization. And, well, there's books on them. And, you know, if you talk to me offline, I could suggest some to you. Now, my method, you know, and it's actually kind of developed over time of just interacting with people and seeing how I can best share the gospel with people, is as I talk to people, in relationships I have with them. As we talk, I look and see how the gospel speaks into their lives. Because the gospel speaks into every single person's life. It is applicable to everybody. And so as I talk with people, you know, I work the gospel message in there. And so they hear it. They hear it. And that's kind of my method. I also try to live, you know, according to the word that I'm proclaiming to them. You know, I'm like you. You know, I'm doing my best for Jesus to live that life. I am a fallen person, and I hope that people see in me the grace of God at work. Because those who have known me for a long time, they've known that Roger McKay, you know, well, he's had some rough spots in his life, but the Lord has helped work and smooth and sanctify. And such are you. If you're a disciple of Christ, you got to admit there have been some rough spots, but the Lord has been working towards making you more and more holy and living that life for Him. And that alone, I mean, that is an absolute testimony before the Lord, well, before the world, as to the Lord's work in your life. It brings credibility to the gospel as you speak it. Because they've seen His work in your life. You know, so whatever method of evangelism you practice, you know, there's these two aspects to it. There's the word that you speak, you know, you got to tell them about Jesus. And there's also, you know, the actions that you do, that your everyday living. That too is another way that you proclaim the gospel. The two go hand in hand. You know, the word without deeds makes an incomplete witness. And so are deeds without the word. Combined, you are confessing Jesus Christ before the Lord, before the world. You're Well, and they're a watching world too. You know, if you think you can go out and talk about Jesus and live like the devil, do you not think that the world's going to see that? You know what they're going to do? They're just going to shrug and turn around. They're going to walk away. And they're not going to hear anything you say because the two don't match up. In Matthew 5, 13 through 16, Jesus tells us that we are salt and light in the world. He then says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." In Colossians 3:17, Apostle Paul tells us that as we live our lives and whatever it is we do, in word or in deed, we are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then in 1 Peter 3:15, the Apostle Peter, he tells us this, saying, "Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." Always be prepared. Word and deed. We are to live our lives in such a way that we become a beacon in the world. A beacon for Christ as witnesses to the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Others are to see Christ in you. And there are those that who see Christ in you that are going to be drawn to you. They're going to be drawn to Christ in you. And as you share Christ Jesus with them, they're going to listen to what you have to say. Because they're going to be drawn to that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And to remember that whenever you do somebody or do something for somebody, and let them know, you know, especially if you're doing the name of Jesus, let them know that you're doing the name of Jesus. Let them know that the reason that you're bringing them that food because you knew that they were hungry, that you're doing that because Jesus Christ first did something for you. And so you're just acting out the gospel of Jesus. Don't just bring it to them and leave, and then they'll be like, you know, there's no, you know, that makes you no different than a secular charity when you do these kind of things. Yeah. So, deeds without the word is an incomplete witness, as is the word without deeds. And combined, you confess Christ before the watching world. And because Jesus is Lord, we must proclaim the gospel in both word and deed. Unbelievers live with that constant threat of eternal punishment hanging over them. Unbelievers that you know could be in a car accident today, and that threat is snapped. The house is on fire. The house is on fire. Don't keep it to yourself. Bang on the door. Ring the doorbell. Scream and yell. Break the window and scream through the window. Wake them up. Some will just roll over and put the pillow over their head because they like the dreams that they're having. Some will do that. And others, by the power of the Spirit of God, will wake up and they will be saved. Proclaim the gospel in word and deed, despite opposition. Despite opposition, in doing so, you will confess Christ before the world. And so, for the sermon series, we have the eighth characteristic of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And this portrait that I've hoped that those of y'all who've been here through the whole thing, you've seen developed little bit by little bit. We confess Christ. And because Jesus is Lord, we must proclaim the gospel before the world.